Describe this tattoo for the non-video lookers, so
it's,
listeners.
It's Jesus depicted as like the sacrificial lamb. Mm-hmm. One time a barista saw it and said, oh, it's a space goat.
Because the halo.
The halo, halo kind of looks like the little bubble helmet. And it's Christ
planting
like
a flag
the flag depicting like victory over death.
Did you
death
go home and get an eraser at that point?
Like, I didn't. I actually told her, and like, this is me being super abrasive, you know? I was like, oh, that's hilarious. It's actually Jesus depicted as the Paschal lamb. And she gave me a gift card. She felt terrible.
Well, I mean, our Lord.
Sorry,
is...
we sacrificed your space goat. Yeah.
Space goat. I mean, our Lord is the celestial greatest of all time.
He is.
So
he
that
is
kind of true.
So many space goats back in Jerusalem.
Well, and through Christ, all things are possible. So here we go.
Is that true?
You can't just use that as a catch-up. <Yeah. laughs> Hello, Beatitudes Worldwide, International, Intergalactic, probably by the time everybody's listening to this. Pretty crazy.
Orbital.
We'll be interplanetary.
Several astronauts have told me they listen.
Yeah, well, there are Aggies who are astronauts, so mm-hmm. you probably have. Welcome to the Beatitudes, a podcast for Christian men seeking to grow in holiness while walking arm in arm in true, authentic fraternity on our way to eternity. We get to know our brothers in Christ so that we can grow closer and imitate their example and learn from each other. My name is Paul Kolker. I am one of the bro hosts, and I am joined, as always, by Nick Besner.
That's me.
And Jeff Scheffelbein.
The Beatitudes, a near occasion
of comedy. Yeah.
Yeah. I was in confession last night, and I nearly said that, and avoid a near occasion of comedy.
I mean, sometimes that can be a near occasion of sin. You gotta watch out.
Yeah, you could get there.
Yeah, there's an overlap sometimes. But we're here for a special edition of the Friday episode because it's not exactly a bonus episode. We're getting to interview the better half of Nailing Key or Austin's better half. Sorry, that sounded negative the way I said that.
Austin.
Austin's business.
Finally
Davis is here.
That's not. Wow, Austin, I'm so sorry. I apologize both in advance and afterwards and all that. But we're here with Davis Scott.
Hello.
Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, our Friday bonus is a full show. It's not a bonus. It's just a show.
Correct.
The man with the last name for the first name, the first name for the last name.
Yes.
You're the first person to ever just get a show on Friday.
Yeah. When your parents named you on the birth certificate, was it Davis, comma, Scott, and then they just
comma is his middle name. Comma is his middle name. Makes it even more confusing.
My middle name's actually Lee, so a lot of people assume my parents are like fans of the Confederacy.
Oh, no.
Davis,
Jefferson
Lee,
Davis, Robert E. Lee.
Oh, just mix them all together.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I know.
Yeah. Wow. That's kind of unfortunate.
Sorry. They're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to be clear.
Yep.
That's incredible. And you've never had that before, right? This is the first time you've heard this feedback on your name?
First time.
Sure. Well, yes. No. Okay. So my point earlier is that you and Austin are business partners.
We are.
Are you the nail or the key?
That's the question I get more often.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're basically brothers from another mother.
We are.
Yeah.
Incredibly similar. And yet amazingly separate and different.
Wow. That's almost Trinitarian there. Mm. That, yeah. You are. Yeah. Mm. Distinction without confusion, or yeah, there's some sort of wow. Okay, well, awesome. Well, okay, we got a lot we want to get into with you here, but we found out on the previous episode with Austin that you guys met in college on Awakening.
We did.
Yeah, and so was that where the business idea started?
Or? Oh, not at all.
Not at all. Okay, no. So talk us through your journey, your side of the story. Like, you go to A&M.
Yep.
Let's go all the way back.
Yeah, good question. Whenever I met Austin in college, I didn't pay him like another glance.
That's easy.
I know. I was a junior. He was a freshman. I was like, I have no interest in hanging out with this cat. And let's see. I was already dating my now wife, and I was Protestant at the time. And so I went to Awakening very much in the mindset of like, I want to figure out, is Catholicism true? So I came ready to like interrogate and grill and learn, and he was just there for a good time. And so I did not pay attention to him.
I want friendship.
Why are you pretty, Mary?
Why are you pretty? Yes, it's exactly. Apostolic succession.
Yeah. So you were in like knight's armor, ready to fight.
I was.
Yeah.
Which is kind of unlike my personality and character, but that's what I felt like I needed to do. Yeah.
You strike me as a very, very abrasive person.
You couldn't be further from the truth.
No, super laid back. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so but that was your goal at the time.
He is showing more skin than any guest we've ever had.
I know. Wait, hold on. I'll
There's
do
one
all,
extra button.
All he
button.
Did,
yeah, should sure. I do another one?
All he did was unbutton like the top button of a shirt. No, please stop.
Okay. Sorry.
Just to be clear for our audio, our audio only listeners, I don't want to scandalize anybody.
This feels
anybody.
Too uptight.
Yeah.
Yeah. You look like you're doing business.
I know. No, yeah. I don't do that.
Let's get down to business.
Let's go.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So time at A&M. Yes. Met my wife. Ended up converting to Catholicism.
So the tables got turned on you.
They did.
Yeah. So yes. What unfolded there?
Did you meet in the Eucharist?
I know. Well, yeah, but I mean, I just like the highlights. If we had to do the spark notes of your life, like what?
No, good question. Like the 2-minute testimony. So it was like the two things that my now wife and I, Jenna, like we ever disagreed on were Catholicism and tattoos.
Okay.
I know.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
It is. And so we had a difficult summer apart. We were kind of like, she was in Spain doing a study abroad. I was at Sky Ranch being a camp counselor and
getting
whatnot.
Getting a tattoo, probably.
Yes, I wanted one. And ended up, I had a friend at the time who just like finally encouraged me to open up my heart to the idea of Catholicism. Like, hey, have you ever even just stopped and asked yourself for a second, like, is there any truth to this? He wasn't Protestant, or he wasn't Catholic. He had just had better experience with Catholics than I had at that point. And I was a guy that I really respected. And so I did. I just kind of like took a step back and prayed. And then I read Rome Sweet Home the next week.
Mm.
And yeah, that was like the beginning of my journey to the Catholic Church.
That's, yeah. Well, so, okay, so that's really interesting because Austin talked about how good his Catholic community was, and it sounds like you didn't have good exposure to, like, a good witness from Catholics, so is
definitely not.
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up down in Midlothian, Texas. It's not made up.
Oh, no. I did a whole bit on Midlothian in the previous episode.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't even know why I just said that town name.
Really?
Yeah. I'm very sorry.
It's okay.
I think you could have picked like other little towns around there, and I was waiting to see because I, as soon as I asked, I remembered Midlothian.
I had no idea.
I knew, but I just sat on it. Yeah.
I mean,
I love
what
when guys like you
entail?
Know, like there could be like a bumper rail there for a reason, but you let us just drive right off the cliff.
Yeah, just well, the it's so fun to watch.
You can hear that voice.
So how was Midlothian the butt of a joke?
No, I
there was no joke.
It was part of the game we played. I was just doing like a Texan character who was a cat lover, and so I just needed like a small town, and in my mind Midlothian sprung to mind.
That was the second time you brought it up.
Well, yeah, that's right.
It is like a comedic name. Like it kind of feels like a
it just has
name.
Yeah, it's got a good roll to it, you know, like
it's better than like Carrollton.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
really?
Midlothian.
Frisco.
Yeah, I don't know. It just it sounds like something a Texan would say. I'm from Midlothian, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we knew we weren't at risk because we only had one subscriber there, but now we're realizing it was you.
Yes.
No, you don't live there now.
Yeah.
Wait, how did you meet Jenna? Keep going on this testimony.
Yeah, good question. So, yeah, first of all, like taking a step back, like I was not raised in like a religious house. It was like a not anti-religion, but it was just like, we don't talk about that. Like politics and religion's kind of taboo topics. And so never grew up with like prayer or anything. My grandma introduced me to the Christian faith around the time I was in middle school and high school, and I started going to a Methodist church with her. And then, you know, just growing up in the South, it's like you're exposed to it all the time. Most of my friends were at youth group on Wednesday night. I'd go hang out with them, do their little retreats. But in the gospel, all of that, like none of that clicked with me. I just thought like, oh, yeah, these are the good kids. And so I liked hanging out with the good kids. And anyways, made it to A&M. And on my way into A&M, you know, there's Fish Camp, which is awesome. Jeff, I think you know a thing or two about Fish Camp. And then there's also...
I do.
Yeah.
And I do.
Yes.
And I, wanting to hang out with the good kids in college, I was like, oh, I heard of Impact Camp, which is like the Christian Fish Camp. It's a way for like incoming freshmen to get plugged into the body of Christ at A&M. And I was like, well, there's probably going to be some pretty cute girls and like good girls.
So you went to that one instead of the other one?
I went to both.
Oh, he's just hedging his
bets. I need all the friends.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like the time to say yes in your life.
For
you know?
Sure. That's fair. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible.
And anyway, so yeah, that is when I feel like the gospel actually resonated with me for the first time. I was like, oh my gosh, yes, this makes sense. And that's where I feel like the Holy Spirit really started playing a big part, and met my wife about 6 months later. In Impact, I went back to Impact like as a counselor, and she was an Impact counselor.
So the cute girl thing worked out just fine.
Oh, totally. Yes. Yes.
All right. So then, keep going on this journey. What was it that was like the final thing or things that you went from Rome, Sweet Home, and this is interesting and open your heart? Was it just love? You just had to go for it because it was love.
There was another thing. So, you know, I was a fairly new Christian at the time, and I felt like being in college and being a Protestant, I felt like one of the things that I was constantly being told was like, hey, don't just take my word for it. Like a pastor would be like, don't just take my word for it. Like, you know, take this, wrestle with it in prayer. Like, see if that's kind of like what where God is leading you. And I felt like there was a difference between like prudential judgment and then like I felt like I was just receiving different truths from people. Like I was like, kind of feels like God isn't like very relative to me, but I felt like I kept on getting a lot of like relative answers. And I felt like the messages were kind of unclear depending on like what pastor or speaker I was hearing. And so there was a desire, I think, for me to like, I was like, I feel like there's more of like a blueprint interpretation for these texts and like maybe more of like a universal understanding of what these things are.
So you're really discerning in this, like, you know,
yeah.
Maybe I'm going to just like take a shot here, like because you didn't have like this like upbringing in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were probably a little bit more open to like, what is truth?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, and I'll be honest, like I didn't have like a lot of like the family of origin ties.
Right.
You know, it's like for a lot of people who are converting, like it means like some hard things like, oh, saying like turning their back to like their parents and their grandparents'
right.
faith.
Right.
Now, it's funny. I had my best friend at the time and he was very, very Baptist. And that was the person that I was like most scared to like tell about my conversion. And then it ended up, like, we would have these long, late nights just, like, talking about it. Always, like, very fruitful and positive. Anyways, it was the beginning of his journey into actually entering into, like, a theological seminary. And he's a pastor now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he kind of looks back at our time, like, having those, like, Catholic-Protestant discussions is, like, beginning of his journey.
Cool.
Yeah.
Incredible.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wish he was on this side of the river, but, yeah, it's still cool.
Whatever happened with the other part of y'all's debates?
Oh, the tattoo?
Yeah.
Oh, right here.
Or you better take off your shirt. <though.
laughs> I don't need to unbutton.
Describe this tattoo for the non-video
okay.
lookers,
so
listeners.
It's Jesus depicted as like the sacrificial lamb. One time a barista saw it and said, oh, it's a space goat.
Because the halo.
The halo kind of looks like the little bubble helmet. And it's Christ
planting
like
a flag
yeah,
on the
like
moon.
The flag depicting like victory over death.
Did you
death
go home and get an eraser at that point?
Like, I didn't. I actually told her, and like this is me being super abrasive, you know. I was like, oh, that's hilarious. It's actually Jesus depicted as the Paschal Lamb, and she gave me a gift card. She felt terrible.
Well, I mean, our Lord.
Sorry,
is...
we sacrificed your space goat.
Yeah.
Space goat. I mean, our Lord is the celestial greatest of all time.
He is.
So
he
that
is.
Is kind of true.
So many yeah. space goats back in Jerusalem.
Well, and through Christ, all things are possible. So here we go.
That's true.
You can't just use that as a catch-up.
Well, yeah, of course, yes.
It's like that meme where the guy's putting the tape on the tank of water.
Yeah.
Like, bam, through Christ, all things are possible.
works for anything.
Going through a really hard time right now. Boom! All things are possible.
Well, and I love the two things in your budding relationship were Catholicism and tattoos, because they're both mostly permanent and extremely hard to undo.
Yes. It's a really good point.
Indelible mark is what baptism leaves. Mm-hmm. So technically, baptism is a tattoo on your soul.
Ooh. Yeah.
So you can use that in your argument against your wife, which I'm sure is what you wanted to get out of this.
I know.
Pretty it's sure the four of us could write the memoirs of Jenna and her two first named husband.
Mm-hmm.
Just blanked on your name.
Mm-hmm. Davis. Oh gosh.
Pick one. They're probably just say it. It's probably it.
Joe Paul.
David. Everyone calls me David.
Yeah. That's my middle name.
Oh.
Yep. Oh, sorry. Jeez.
Oh.
Jeez, comma. Hey, so one thing that you and I have in common is we're the only two people I know that have seven children that are almost the exact same ages.
I mean,
for fun, to see if I'm still right about this, because I know that as months go on, kids have birthdays. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Your oldest is
10.
10. Next?
9.
8. Next?
8.
6. Next?
6.
4. Next?
3.
3. Next?
2.
2. 20 months. Next?
Okay. Like 6 weeks.
Mine's like maybe 10 weeks.
Okay. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. This is like,
it's nuts.
I don't even like Davis. I just need to be around my peers.
Yep. Yep.
Pair up, kids.
And your girl boy breakdown.
I'm 4 and 3. Four boys, 3 girls. And you're the opposite.
I wouldn't call it the opposite.
Yeah. I have 6 girls, 1 boy.
Yeah. Just the opposite. Yeah. Just the opposite.
Take the inverse, carry the 1, and you got it.
Change 2, then it's the opposite.
Yep.
So not the opposite.
I was just trying to pretend like I remembered everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got it.
Just
you
say
know
it
me
with,
so well.
Say it with authority.
Yeah.
I got to tell you a real story. There's a guy in our office named Malachi.
Okay.
His last name's Hernandez. And I literally introduced him to somebody one day, said something, whatever, said it again. And then, like, he's been here for 4 or 5 months, and I walk by the office, he's speaking Spanish on the phone. And he gets off the phone. I go, what were you doing? What was that? And he goes, Spanish. And I go, you know Spanish? And he goes, yeah, I know Spanish. I go, I didn't know that. And he goes, yeah, I know. You tell everybody I don't speak Spanish. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, I don't remember saying that, but it sounds like something I would say, like, this is Malachi Hernandez. He doesn't speak Spanish.
You might think he does based on the last name.
You just assume.
Yes. But he's a fraud.
Why wouldn't he correct me?
Because you're his boss, maybe?
And you said it with authority.
Yep.
Yep.
So tell Jenna you have the exact opposite kids of me.
Yeah. Will do.
How do we recover from that?
Where we
do
we go? Play a game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Straight right. into blessed are the joke makers, for they shall inherit the points.
How many?
171.
Whoa. All right. That's a big one. It's the average of all the kids.
Inverse
average. Yeah. Reciprocal.
Squared.
Yeah.
Got it.
Math. All right. So here we go. And the way this works is we got a character card and a Catholic card game card. And we have to answer the prompt on the Catholic card game card as said character. Mm-hmm. And you just get to decide which one you like the most and bestow the points upon them.
Perfect.
All right. So the character we have to do is as a pageant winner. Mm-hmm. The newest hit hymn to hit the church is called blank.
Oh, golly. I'm so glad we get to sing that new hymn. It is all the rage in our church. I went down to Midlothian to pray, praying about those good old days. You know the one.
Okay.
Even when I crush it, I don't get the points. Don't worry about me.
It's hard to go first.
And I do it every time. I'm a martyr.
You're a big man.
I award you no points.
Really,
God. We're all stupid. God have mercy.
Well, as the winner of this pageant... I'm just so thankful. In fact, I just want to start by thanking God. And I know it was really my talent show performance, you know, when I was able to be up here singing that newest hit hymn, gosh, I got nothing. Nope. I thought it would just come and it didn't.
Do the Michael Scott.
Do not give him points for honesty. That's cute. Yeah. But all it was called honesty.
Sometimes I'll start a conversation.
Yeah. I don't know where it's going.
Yeah. I just hope I find it along the way. All right. Well,
the newest hit hymn is, it's called Chocolate Drink, and it goes like this. You who is my favorite chocolate drink, it abides in my stomach for life. Under his wings he will pour your cup, lest you dash your foot against the strife.
And he will fill up your chocolate drink.
You who is the one I think, beverage to fill up my cup and hold it in the palm of my hand.
I'd give it to me, but probably Paul.
Do you guys have a running total for like
we
total?
Do.
It's online.
It's a lot of Paul.
Who's winning? Oh.
Well, let's see. Season one, that was Paul.
Who needs
Season
help?
Season two, that was Paul. Season three, current is a lot of Paul and a little bit of Nick and Jeff.
I don't think I'm on the board.
You
who
are. You're on the board.
Who needs a boost?
Nick and Jeff. But let me tell you something. If you don't give this to Paul right now, our show has lost all of its integrity.
Yeah. Okay, great. I'm glad we're on the same page, Paul.
Amazing. Amazing.
Okay.
And back to that back row. There we go.
While we're enjoying this Paul moment, I have to say a couple things. There's times where I'm really happy Paul won because it's like, wow, brilliance. And there's times where I'm like, this man just wrote a song in the blank
in
space that we cut out.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying there's a little bit of like, he wrote it in this place. I just start talking. I do pull a Michael Scott.
Sure.
It fails. It fails a lot.
Well, hey, maybe think a little bit more.
That's hard. All right. Congratulations on
Thank you,
the man. Biggest win of the season three.
I guess.
My brain does not operate that quickly.
All right. For being our celebrity guest judge, you're getting St. Rose of Lima socks. I don't know why I'm laughing
amazing.
About this. They're beautiful.
Ain't nothing funny about St. Rose.
No, they got maroon in there. And some rose color.
Mm-hmm.
So St. Rose of Lima just reminds me of you because of gardeners and florists and embroiderers.
Yep.
I love it.
In fact, that
My
shirt would
things.
Look good with some embroidery. And the rest of you can look good with Sacrilegious, too, by going to sacrilegious.com/beatadudes.
Been there.
Oh, nice. And you can keep those with your collection. And then, you know, whenever you want to peruse them, you can pull out the St. Rose of Lima.
You have to understand what Lima is to get
Lima,
this
Lima
joke.
Lima, Peru.
Yes.
Lima it in the comments if you got that one.
Lima?
And Lima it.
Oh, no.
And if you want to see Davis get his shirt embroidered, just holler at us in the comments also.
Also in the comments. That's where you can communicate
no
with us most easily.
Yeah. All right. We come back after the break, see if he's still got that last button buttoned.
Jeez.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
jeez.
Oh,
Mary. Mary.
Mr. Potter. What is it you
want,
Mary?
Do you want me to button that last button for you?
Say the word. I'll throw a lasso around it.
The team at Aquinas Wealth Advisors believes that good values and good returns are not mutually exclusive. Using a tech-smart and morally sound approach, they provide investment alternatives that align with Catholic teachings without sacrificing returns. These days, faith-driven investors are finding it hard to know where their money is going. They have no visibility into what their dollars are supporting, but there's a better way. Thanks to the Faith and Finance Score from Aquinas Wealth Advisors, you can look into your current holdings to see what you're supporting and make a switch to an advisor that aligns with your values and gives power to your voice. Check out AquinasWealth.com today.
Hey, Beatitudes, it's Jeff here. When Nick and I set out and we started this company, Undivided Life, we decided to not use traditional healthcare, but we went with Solidarity HealthShare because we thought it was an affordable and ethical alternative that matched the needs of our business and our growing families. Since then, my family put Solidarity to the test. We've had pregnancies, babies, emergency room visits, even a brain surgery for one of my children, and Solidarity has been an incredible partner and has also had the cost and the ethical approach that we love. Here's a link for you to go check it out. Learnmore.com. solidarityhealthshare.org/beatitudes. This is your chance to be in solidarity with the Shufflebine family.
Hi, it's Paul Kolker from the Beatitudes here, and I just wanted to share with you guys that I also, outside of the show, perform improv comedy on a regular basis with a group called Divine Comedy. So what we do is we come up with everything on the spot, so whether you're looking for faith-filled, fun, family-friendly comedy for your youth night, or whether you're looking for clean comedy for your corporate event, Divine Comedy can perform for your group and even get you in on the action. So if you'd like to hire us to come out and perform for your next event, check out DivineComedyImprov.com. Divine Comedy, an inferno of fun.
Incredibly talented Dave Moore. Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Davis Scott, the man with two names.
Mm-hmm. First names. Or last names.
Two names.
Yeah. Two names. We all have names.
You're so right.
Two first names and two last names.
The man so nice, they named him twice.
Exactly. Oh, I lost my train of thought. I had something, and then I lost it.
Well, speaking of trains, we've been training for this moment our whole lives. Mm. We're going to be going right into our TBD question of the day.
Well, also,
unless
real
you got
quick,
something. Go ahead.
Speaking of trains, I drove past a train this morning that had graffiti on it that was spelled out two trains with a Z at the end, like two chains.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, that's pretty awesome.
I thought that was pretty clever.
They might have done it themselves just to get us to notice trains more often.
That's got to be it.
Paul, take us away.
Trains have been neglected.
Anyway, okay, so our TBD question. We hear all the time in Scripture, right, do this in memory of me. That's obviously one of the most important moments in Scripture, in the institution of the Eucharist. But we have all these other moments where Passover, which was what the Eucharist was the fulfillment of, right? But Passover is seen as a representation, a taking the Jewish people back to that moment of being set free from captivity. And really in the Psalms, over and over again, the Lord says, but you forgot me, or you forgot my ways. So what we want to talk about is holding on to a memory. What is a memory that is important in each of our lives, and either one that we maybe actively celebrate or one that reemerged at a time that we needed it, something that we had completely forgotten about and God brought back to us because it was important to our identity as his children.
What do you got?
So I have one. It's actually pretty interesting. I went through like a period of just desolation in prayer where just I was not feeling like I was close to God or that God was there for me. There's a whole lot more that I could get into in terms of details, but I'm not going to get into all of that right now. But point is, I went on one of the healing retreats with Dr. Bob Schutz, and I mean, that's thankfully God has blessed that ministry abundantly, and it's helping so many people. If you haven't heard of it, please go look that up, because it really is. Mm-hmm. It's
Amen.
Powerful. And one of the things that came up in that moment, I was praying with Dr. Bob, because again, that's part of how the retreat is broken out, and you have group sessions, but you kind of have some individual sessions where you're talking things through. And the memory that resurfaced for me goes way back to childhood. It was I'm the firstborn, and my younger sister is 2 years younger than me. But I remember I was probably like 4 or 5, so it was like one of the earliest memories, and I was having trouble sleeping. I would get scared in the middle of the night. It was like my first time in my own room kind of thing. And I would go get my mom, and she would just like come in and lie down basically next to me there for until I fell asleep. Sometimes, I guess, through the night, whatever it was. But that memory reemerged, and Dr. Bob said, well, don't you see Our Lady in that and the way she's present for you? And it completely shifted things for me from where I had been in that place of desolation to where, even if I didn't always feel it, there was this sense, this greater sense of knowing that, okay, Mama Mary's still there for me, even if I don't always feel that connection to God.
I must follow you on this one, and I'm going to tell you why. We did a question of the day the other day at work, and it was around this like name a childhood memory thing. Mm-hmm. And the one that I shared was how much I loved that when football was on Sunday, I can remember if my dad was laying on his back, I would try to get on top of him and lay on top of him and watch the show. Or if he was laying on his front, I might lay on top of him. You know, like just laying on top of my dad as a little boy watching football was like the most peaceful, happy place to mm-hmm. be. And I try to think about that like in relation to my children today. Mm-hmm. Like, what do they need? The other one that's not nearly as serious, but it came back to me one day and I shot up out of bed in college. I had this vision all of a sudden. When I was 5, me and my brother were wrestling and he launched me and my head hit the fireplace on the corner. Ooh. And I ended up getting stitches. Well, a 5-year-old getting stitches is pretty traumatic for something that big. Mm-hmm. They got to hold you down, mm-hmm. but they can't use their arms. So they Velcroed me to the bed. And I was in college and I'm hanging out with some people and I go, when I was little, they Velcroed me to a bed. And everybody's like, what? And I'm like, I just saw it. Like, it happened in Minnesota.
Oh, my God.
So I've never repressed that one again, but it came out in force.
Wow.
Oh, man. Here's one that I thought of. So I mentioned my grandma earlier in the show, and, like, she's a big part of my journey coming into the faith, and I just love and adore the woman. Shout out to grandma. And I remember this moment, like, in her living room, and it was, like, a Saturday morning, and my grandma was not this, like, she's not always telling me what to do, like always giving advice. She is a fantastic listener. And so I was like telling her, I think, about some middle school girlfriend drama that I was having at the time. And she kind of stopped and she's like, Davis, here's two things that you need to look for in a woman. Okay. One, as long as you guys have the same values and as long as you think she's beautiful, then that's the one. And it was like those two things. And I just remember whenever I met my wife in college and I like got to know her a little bit more, I could just, those two things kept on coming. Yeah. And I was just like, oh man, I think these two boxes are like checked. And I hadn't thought about it in forever, but I can still like see that, that moment, that whole scene playing out perfectly in my head.
That's awesome.
That jogged one for me for sure. Similar, it's kind of a similar vein of like, I just remember my dad growing up, he's like, you know, as you're growing up and start dating, like, these are the ways you can think about, like, a framework for choosing a spouse and that sort of thing. And, you know, one of his things was, well, on one side, it was like, in life, right, always keep first God, then family, then work. Everything mm-hmm. else will be fine. And then in choosing a spouse, like, find the wife or find the girl who's at Mass on Wednesday night or a mm-hmm. time when she doesn't have to go, quote unquote, right? Mm-hmm. Because she has this desire, this love of the Lord and that sort of thing. And, you know, in dating and pursuing my wife, like, I knew her from growing up, but there was an age gap. So that was, you know, inappropriate until it wasn't. And
I don't make the rules.
Yeah.
Time has a beautiful way of playing those things out.
Yeah. Right. And, yeah, I just kind of knew... You know, before I even, like, said a word to Briley, I kind of knew she was the right one. Mm. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you see her at Mass on, like, a Wednesday night?
It was just, like, no, it was more so, like, family. I would be at her house, like, playing with her older brothers or doing, you know, something like that, hanging out. And it would be, like, family rosary time. And we would just say, like, a family rosary. And this is, like... I'm in junior high, and so she's in, like, elementary school. But it's just, like, I know that foundation is there in her life and in her
That
family.
Is such a, like, wild foundation
to a marriage. Oh, it's so crazy. It's
marriage.
So crazy.
Like, like, what was it like when you first hung out? Well, we used to do family rosaries when I was
in second
junior
grade.
High with her whole family, my in-laws, you know?
That's right. That's right.
It's incredible.
Crazy.
Man.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Blessing. Yeah.
God has a beautiful way of working all these things together. My brother, what are you excited about right now, and what are the things in your life that you that keep you up at night? Like, what are those two things? Like, the joy and the it runs through your brain, kind of that man. Record.
Well, not much is keeping me up at night. I have that post-confession high. I left confession and came straight to here, so I'm feeling pretty awesome.
Nice. We tell all of our guests.
Sorry, we ruined it for you.
Oh, no. Nothing can bring me
down.
Don't
be bringing
right now.
That demonic junk up in here. We need clean souls.
Oh, man. It's just side note. Like, there's no better feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Just like
we
walking
had confession
out
at the house last night.
You
and
did?
Me, my oh, wife, cool. and my 8-year-old, who just did her very first confession, did her confession. Her second confession
that's
was at the
cool.
house last night. Yeah,
I love it.
Kind of, yeah. we're like in that state of really like mm-hmm. wanting it, and plus. The whole family with this drama we're going through with my son, we ended up mm-hmm. not being at Mass on Sunday, and I was like, I can't go a week without the Eucharist. Like, we gotta mm-hmm. we gotta get this going. So
yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. Things I'm looking forward to. My third born Sienna Rose is getting her first Eucharist on May 4th.
Wow. Man, my brain was thinking you were talking about the baby. Oh. on May 4th my second born is getting the Eucharist.
Yes,
right?
9 a.m. or a noon Mass?
Noon.
Yeah. Okay. We were noon, but we switched to 9 because that's the other thing I'm really looking forward to is...
Not going to Mass with me?
No. Jenna and I, we are sponsoring a couple for like their marriage, and like our engaged couple, and they're getting
yeah.
married on May 4th, like the afternoon. Fun. So we're like, we need to switch to 9 a.m. so we can make the wedding.
A lot of sacraments.
I know.
That's yeah. awesome.
Day of sacraments.
Yeah.
So... That's something that Jen and I have loved doing.
I always hope that people get that experience of being, you know, connected to somebody in the sacrament, serving as godparents or a sponsor for somebody. We have a deal coming up in May. Our friend Jamie is having his marriage convalidated. He's coming into the church through the final parts of RCIA, and both of his kids are getting baptized all in the same grand slam ceremony, and I am so pumped. But I wanted to do something here. We were just talking about the sacraments, and my 6-year-old read at Mass this morning. I missed it, but he was reading the petitions. And I wanted to play this if I can get it to come through here, because there was just something about this. I was just thinking about your kids, my kids. They're mostly the same age. They're just the exact opposite in gender. And I want to hear. I want you to hear Pax.
Okay.
Because, you know, you got so many boys. I want you to hear Pax do his petition, because it's related to both of our daughters.
So for our audience, I just want to say before we do this, Pax Vobiscum.
Mm-hmm.
That means peace be with you.
I thought it meant Pax read something.
It means Pax be with you. That's
you know what the priests always say to him? Pax tacum. Tecum. Tecum.
Tecum.
Tecum. And he says tecum.
Sound like a samurai when he's
tecum.
It's actually why they wouldn't let me in the seminary.
Yeah.
You went to the samurai-nary?
See, that's what I'm talking about. He nails it like that.
Nail it.
All right, that's the petition good. Today from Pax Shufflebine.
For all of those preparing to make their first communion, may they always stay close to Jesus in the Eucharist. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
There you
that's
go.
That's so cool.
There's nothing more adorable than a kid saying a prayer.
That's how we keep... all of our female and audience engaged is everyone's way. We just press play on some kid thing.
Yeah. I love this show.
You know, the Beatitudes once a season plays something good.
It's worth it to listen for that thing.
Hang in there.
I heard that you guys had your first Beatitudette.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
We did. You know, we got a chance to serve at a conference, the DCYC conference, and got to interview the 3 keynote speakers. And then we just did this popcorn thing. We're going to debut another one of those episodes probably before yours. It was fun. We just had a great time. But we're not going to do a lot of it.
Yeah, but that's where we got to interview Beatitudettes.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There were a few of them in there, yeah.
It's really special, but at the same time, it wouldn't be special if we did it all the time. So we just bring in guys like you.
Yeah, thanks.
Perfect.
Means a lot.
Man, you know how to butter up our guest.
You started by saying
cool.
That business partner's not as good as him, so I'm just following you.
Wait.
Yes, and?
I misspoke is all I did. Davis is awesome.
You know, thanks. I've actually misspoke all the time.
What? You? No, never.
Hey, Davis, buddy, we love you very much. Say something really positive. 1, 2, 3.
God loves you.
All right, everybody. God loves you. With that, that's we true. Will see you when we see you next.
I panicked.
And for the rest of you, we will
see you in the Eucharist.
I panicked.
Thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to join us at our undersized table, subscribe to the video version of the show on YouTube by typing at, that's the symbol at, so shift and 2 on your keyboard, @ the_Beatitudes on YouTube. We'll see you there.